So
back again.
We start every episode like that, you know.
Yeah, we do.
It's like of all the words in God's greatest language, okay, we start with so.
Here we are. It could be our trademark, right?
I guess it could be, actually. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Also, what have you got for me today? Any...
Dinero.
Dinero, okay.
Roonies, moolah, dosh, wonga, money. Wonga. Let's talk money.
Let's talk money, shall we?
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your feelings on money.
My initial feeling was, I love it, but that's wrong. I don't love money. I love making money. And having money and all the things that it enables me to do.
Tell me, oh, this is brilliant. I get to be like a therapist for a second.
Do you need a little notepad?
I do need a notepad.
Clicky pen.
And one of those shitty jackets with leather patches on the arms like that. Like, ooh, that's okay. How I imagine a psychologist.
Give me ideas. Okay.
That's not a role play. I can't take you anywhere, honestly.
No, it's never done it for me, actually. This, you know? Like the therapist setting.
No, me neither.
No.
No.
Anyway. Anyhow.
Back on track, honestly.
Yeah.
Yes.
You were saying.
Holy shit, I've lost my thread already. What were we talking
about? I do that to people.
She says, just like wafting her leg around in her womanly ways. Yeah, I do that to people. I don't know what it is. Oh, look, I dropped something. Anyway.
Your question.
Talking about money. Yeah, tell me a little bit about what it was like growing up and attitudes to money within your family that you overheard and that were sort of grafted onto you and that you took with into adult life that you then perhaps discarded later on or still have today. And we'll compare notes because then I'll talk about mine.
Oh, so this is deep stuff. Deep, unscripted, never talked about before kind of stuff. Obviously, you know, because we talk about these things, but we didn't know this was actually going to come up today. Mm. Growing up, well, I come from a family of, well, it's not working class. It's sort of lower middle class, hardworking, stoic Protestants.
Stoic is the right word.
Who've come from nothing on both sides of my parents' tree, ancestry. Come from nothing, but worked so incredibly hard to be in a position where they were able to leave something behind. So, wealth has only ever been on the up for them in their lifetimes. Mm-hmm. Both my grandfathers, one went down the business owner route, so he had a successful company, which he then bequeathed to one of his sons. Mm-hmm. And the other one started as an apprentice and worked himself up in the same company. Mm. Like, I don't know how long
did he was there,
40, I want to say 60 years. He, 50... I mean, you really, it was that generation. You started in your finest suit as a 14-year-old and finished just before you retired, right? So I come from industrious people.
Yes.
However, I come from people so coined or traumatized by wartime that they had this incredible frugality about them to a point where we were artificially poor.
Yes.
So we had money. Mm-hmm. The money was okay. My father did well and, you know, there was money available around, but we didn't at the same time because it was so incredibly frugal. Mm-hmm. So we went to charity shops instead.
Yeah.
And we went to, you know, shopping at Aldi's. There's nothing wrong with that, but that sort of shaped my narrative around money. So you must look after it and it won't come back. So you need to look after the penny.
And the pounds will look after themselves.
Really, like, you know, if they saw a penny in the street, they'd pick it up. Or a euro cent. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Really?
Of course, yeah.
Wow.
And
okay.
So, but also because I was always... So now this is really dark stuff. This is like going into Katie.
That's not going. No, they're not too dark.
No. I'm happy to share because it's made it's turned me into the person I am today. So our pocket money was always linked to our performance. So when I was growing up, so my sister and I, we went to the same grammar school together, and it was a tough one.
Yeah.
And so our pocket money was always linked to how many A's and B's we got. So we had a system.
Yeah.
A table. So the pocket money was determined by your final report. Yeah. And it was, yes, I can see why they did it, but it was also incredibly damaging because for the longest time I thought I was only worth something if I performed, which is a dangerous equation, especially when you're self-employed. But in life in general, it's never a great idea. Never link your worth to your outcome. Mm-hmm. Performance, right? You're lovable and you're a full and complete human being how you are. However, okay, so these were sort of some markers that shaped me. And then I always had this limiting belief that I was shit with money.
Interesting.
Because when I got my pocket money, once a month or every Sunday, however we did it, I got my pocket money and I saved and I went out to buy myself this really lovely pen. And it was quite pricey, but I'd saved up for it.
Yeah.
And I went home and my dad said, "Are you stupid? I could have got you one from work for free.
You
must be really shit with money." God. And I know they were dealing with the tools they got given. I know they did their best and there's no hard feelings. But those are all the moments and the sentences and the fragments that shape your own narrative around money.
Yeah.
And also coupled with the fact that I come from a region in Germany, Northwest Germany, which is quite modest and quite, there's no showing off. You don't have the big Bentleys, you know, and even if you do well for yourself, you don't talk about money. You don't.
No, that's true.
I don't know what my parents made. I don't know what my, you know, it's, that's we true. Don't full, I don't know what my sister or any of my family members make. Not that it matters, but there's no conversation around it other than shit. If you don't look after it, you run out.
Yes.
And that was me.
Yeah.
And then we met and we went into self-employment together.
Mm.
So how about you? Tell me about you.
Well, first of all, thank you for sharing, because that's a couple of things that came out from that that are new to me.
Okay.
And
it's always a good start.
It's great because I knew the general narrative and there are some parallels. To keep it brief, so I grew up in a single parent family where we didn't have a pot to piss in. You were absolutely flat broke. One of the clearest memories I have of my childhood, and I don't actually have that many memories of my childhood, was my mother, who, bless her, I mean, she did an incredible job. And I've as much as she winds me up, or you know, the memory of her still winds me up on occasion, I've nothing but respect for what she did, because she would balance the books and feed us every night, and we had everything we needed. We had essentially nothing we wanted, but we had everything we needed.
Mm.
And so that shaped everything, every single day. And coming back to the memory, the clear memory I have is going to the supermarket after she'd got her social security check every week, because they issued it every week. I remember going to the post office with her and they'd give her the social security check for about, it was like £30 or something like that. This was late 1980s. And I remember going to the supermarket and she'd say, "You can have this or this for dinner tonight and this or this for dinner tomorrow. You have to choose one." There was no dessert, there was no crisps or Coca-Cola or anything like that. And that was my story growing up. And so similar to your story, you were only ever away, like one or two paychecks or social security checks away from destitution, and that you had to look after every single penny. And so that was what I grew up with, but we were genuinely poor.
Yeah.
You know, we had absolutely nothing. My parents divorced when I was five, and it sounds not great when you put it like that, but I was raised with love and I had a warm meal every day and I had a roof over my head. So I'm very grateful for that. And I have nothing but respect for that. But in terms of how it shaped my attitude to money later on, and all this ties in with attitude to money and self-employment or being an entrepreneur, and that's what I want to share with everyone. In fact, this is what I've been really looking forward to sharing with everybody who does listen, who's thinking about going into self-employment or who has maybe just started. That childhood perception of money and what it is and what it does shaped my teens, my 20s, and my very early 30s. And it was very much a case of money is finite.
Mm.
You get given X and then you have to eke out X. And you have to prioritize above all else saving money over making money. If you get given £100, well, that's it. And you've got to save it, or as much as you can of it, and you've got to cling on to it. And I remember as a kid, this is something that was a pivotal moment in my life, but I didn't realize it at the time. When I turned 18, I got, what do we call them? Premium bonds? You get like a savings plan, don't you? So it's not like in Germany where you have like the Bausparvertrag or something like that, where you save for a house. And here you get a savings account with premium bonds. And I got £1,000 on my 18th birthday. And I wasn't handed to me per se, but I was given access to it on my 18th birthday. And there wasn't much fanfare, but it was like slightly ceremonious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're a man now, Daniel. Here's £1,000. And I remember thinking, fuck my days, £1,000. That's so much money, right? Take me to the strip club. I've never done that before. Mm. Hand on heart, I've never done that. But I was thinking, right, that's it. Boats and hoes all the way. It's £1,000. But here's the thing. £1,000 does not last very long.
No.
Not in the UK. I think in most of the developed world, there's not a lot you can do. So I deferred my university place by year so I could live in Germany. Went to university, paid for by the state because we were still a single parent family. I still came out with £6,000 in student debt, which is a snip compared to what the average student debt is in this country. It's about £40,000. So teachers come out with £60,000 of debt. So I came out very lightly, paid it off. But the reason I wanted to talk about money today was that shaped about 80% of my life, maybe 90% of my years on this planet. But, and here's the crux of it, the message for anybody who is starting in self-employment, for anybody who is struggling in self-employment, the single greatest thing you can do for yourself as an entrepreneur is two things, actually. Sorry to contradict myself. There are two things. Number one, remove any emotional attachment you have to money. Because one of the greatest things I realized in this life was that you never have money. My father once said to me, he said, he's a businessman. He's just in the process of retiring now. He's done very well for himself. Mm. He's risked his nuts for 30 years. And I know he's been on the limit for most of that time. It's been very hard and it's been very successful. And he said to me, quoting somebody else, money is as money does. Mm. And he said, if you think about that long enough, money is as money does, you will begin to understand. And it dawned on me that you never have money. You only have an obligation to spend it. And so if you remove any emotional attachment for money and accept that you never have it, you will relax. You will relax and you will have a fundamentally different outlook on life. That is the greatest single act of deburdening. That's just not a very good way of putting it, but it's the single greatest removal of weight off my shoulders in entrepreneurship is removing all emotion from money and accepting that you never have it.
Yes.
Because that way you are free to go and be an entrepreneur. And you accept with that moment that there are only ever going to be two states in self-employment. And again, quoting my father, he says, there are only ever two states when you work for yourself. Number one is, what the fuck are we going to do for money? I've got no money. There's nothing coming in. Customers aren't working. Everything's gone quiet. It's the holidays. What the fuck am I going to do for money? Or what the fuck are we going to do with all this money? I've just been paid and the next 6 months are clear. What am I going to do with all this money? Right, I'm going to do something really sensible. I'm going to go crazy with it. But there are only ever those two states. There is no in between. Mm. And I know that from my personal experience. I know that from talking to people who have a staff of 10 people, talking to people who have a staff of 1,000 people. There are only ever those two states. So that's the big, big learn and the big thing I would share. That's number one. Number two is always prioritize making money over saving money. Mm-hmm. And that's the next greatest thing. And you can do that. And again, this is much to your irritation. You can do it. And this is not advice. This is a fucking prescription. Okay. this is a doctor's prescription to everybody out there. The first thing you must do when you start working for yourself is throw away your fucking store cards, your saver coupons, your you know, there's little things you can attach.
Loyalty cards,
bonus premium cards, your fucking, you know, tap this and you get 50 points. Well, then you get money off next week. I'm like, it honestly, it never ceases to amaze me how people unwittingly choose to live in poverty because they prioritize saving money in those forms over making money. Whereas if you said, next week, as a self-employed person, I'm going to make it my mission, I am going to make this amount of money, and I'm going to do it more than I did last month or last week, and you constantly aim to grow, it's no guarantee of success. There are times it will not work.
Mm.
But it is, as I've come to experience, the only way to be self-employed, to have no emotional attachment to money.
Yes, I agree.
And to prioritize making over saving every day of the week. And it's scary at first, but it is the most liberating paradigm shift, change in mindset I've ever experienced. Anyway, long story, but it's from the heart, and it's something I would advise anybody. Don't sweat the details. Obviously, you've got to pay your bills, okay? That's important. But unless HSBC is phoning you up and saying, if you don't balance your account by close of play today, I'm going to come down your house and I'm going to castrate you personally myself, Mr. Cager. Don't worry about it. You know, if you're a little bit over on your credit card, don't worry about it. Prioritize making more money. Mm. Okay. If you have to dip into your savings to cover your bills this month, you've got to do it. It's just how it is. Don't sweat it. Prioritize making more money. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, anybody listening to this who has a bigger nut to cover than I do or we do in a month, I know they know I'm right. And it's, as a final thought on money, when you work for yourself, you are always on the limit. Always. You see somebody driving a shiny Tesla, it's a lease. It's a tax write-off, but it's a lease. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I don't care how successful they are. They've only got a few months worth of money in the bank to cover that Tesla payment. The money has to keep rolling in. You see a shiny watch on somebody's wrist, it's on the limit. You see a nice house with nice VMF, like crockery and utensils.
Yeah.
It's on the limit. It's on the limit. We are only ever a few paydays away from utter disaster. And so embrace that freedom. So I've talked a lot.
No, but it's so great because it's so true. And it's taken us, over a decade to figure out. So might as well save somebody a bit of heartache.
Yeah. You sleep better.
Especially with a young family as well.
Yes.
Because I know a lot of people listening to this podcast who are just starting out and they have a young family. Mm. They have a responsibility. It's not like, oh, I'm going to be finding myself in Bali eat, pray, love.
Eat, shag,
and
die. No, what is it again?
Just,
I can't remember.
Just going to find myself and work on the beach because it works so well working in bright sunlight on your laptop because there's no glare at all.
That's right.
And, you know, let's not kid ourselves here. We're grown-ups, we're serious entrepreneurs,
yeah.
Not just dabbling in a bit of freelancing. Mm. This is it.
Yeah.
This is what we've chosen. This is our path, and we want to make it the best possible outcome,
yes.
Right? And to build a bigger than ourselves, build a legacy,
yes.
Touch upon people's lives and have a positive impact.
Yes.
And if you take your work seriously, which I do believe you are, because you're still listening to this.
Yeah.
Remember this. No emotional attachment. My economics professor in Madrid when I studied, when I did my bachelor's, European Business Studies. I studied in Madrid for a bit. And he said, you don't have money, you have debt.
You have debt, yes.
And if you think about it that way, it's so liberating, like you said. Mm. And don't sweat it. Don't sweat the small stuff. Mm. We're all in our credit cards. Yeah. We're all over the limit.
After the bill is before the
bill. Exactly. However, if this step and this expense and this investment leads to the next scale up and more visibility and feeds into your goals and your mission, do it.
Yes.
It's no good sat on your bank account in your bank account, and you just got to do it.
You've just got to do it.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So, wow. Okay. So hopefully there was a lot of good stuff in there. Mm.
It's crazy because money is a topic that the vast majority of people don't want to talk about.
But they do.
Well, they do.
It's like enemas or herpes or like you don't, but you do.
You
right?
Kind of do. So you want to, it's like when you drive past a car crash, you want to have a look and see if there's any blood. So you drive past like, yeah, and I'm focused on the road.
But you know you shouldn't.
Shit, I shouldn't be looking. What's that? It's the same. Yes, it's true. It is true. People do want to talk about it. I don't believe in talking brashly and about how much money you make in a month or any year. For me, that's bad form. But in terms of money management, attitudes to money, I think one of the greatest things you can do as a parent is talk to children about money.
Yes.
Because nobody talked to me about it growing up. It was one of those things, like I said, it wasn't, well, it was all the things I described.
Yeah.
But yes. Yeah. Deep stuff from the heart.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Anyway.
So if you found today's episode useful as well, but useful, do us a favor, subscribe or send it to somebody who might benefit. Somebody you know who's starting out or who's running a business or who's thinking about self-employment or a little side hustle, send it to them.
Brilliant.
It'll mean the world.
Yeah, love it. Amazing.
All right. See you next time.
See you next time.